Welcome to Peak to Pit. I'm Allie Peak alongside TJ Pittinger going into week three of the college football season. We can recap the ACC and the Big 12 started last weekend, so we had some real decent football. I use that term loosely on my TV, on your TV, TJ. And then one more week of that before the big boys actually start playing, and then we really have something to talk about.
I am jacked up for the crap schedule that the SEC put out week one, just like the ACC and the Big 12 did too. Like, I get it. You don't want any premier matchups so that people's seasons are ruined early, but I'm really, really excited for when the games get into like week three and four of like everybody's schedule, because that's when they actually start getting good. But I'll, you know, more football is good football. So, yeah, not good football over the weekend though for the teams that I'm supposed to support or whatever. We talked about it a little bit off air. Did you watch the Florida State game?
I did. I watched. We were at a birthday party, so it was on in the background. So I got to, you know, watch a decent amount. Wasn't paying as close attention as I would have if we were, you know, sitting on my couch at home and that was the only thing we were doing. But I watched it. I would like to adjust my predictions based on what I saw. I think, honestly, for me, I think quarterback play is going to be a problem for you guys. Is that, I mean, it's pretty early to start looking to somebody else, but is that what you saw when you watched as well?
Yeah, he's pretty terrible, right? You know, I mean, he seems like a great kid. He's had four offensive coordinators, so he's been dealt a rough hand. But I mean, at the end of the day,
I think it's important to note that most of the time, any of our criticisms don't actually have anything to do with the player personally, unless we happen to specifically say this is
right. He's a piece of crap.
Criticism. Right. I'm not in the business of criticizing college kids personally. But when you sign up to play a sport, you do sign up to have your play analyzed.
Yeah. And I mean, in most situations, James Blackman would not still be the quarterback at Florida State. He continues to be put in there because we just don't have a better mm-hmm. option. He's the last quarterback that Jimbo recruited. And Jimbo did not recruit him to ever really start here, right? Like, that was not, he was a filler type QB. We had Francois, who was more highly sought after. Obviously, he had his issues. We had DeAndre Johnson, who was more highly sought after. He had his issues here. We had Malik Henry, who was supposed to just be the absolute truth, who I believe was in the class before Blackman's again. So Blackman was a filler type QB. And then, you know, that was Jimbo's last class. And then Taggart never landed a QB in his time here. And then, you know, Norvell has landed two, right? Chuba Purdy and Tate Rodemaker. And Chuba Purdy is injured right now, and Tate Rodemaker is a true freshman. And
he's in the top five or the top eight or whatever of another four-star guy that just released his ranking. So, I mean, Norvell can recruit quarterbacks, it appears.
Yeah. There's just nothing else there on the roster right now. A lot of people think Chuba Purdy would have taken over. We had Andy Staples on Notorious Gator on
Humber.
We had him on the FSU pod that I do, and he talked about Chuba being really, really highly sought after. He talked about a recruiting chip that Chuba and his brother went on. His brother's a quarterback at Iowa State who also had a rough weekend. Talked about them going on a recruiting trip, and all the coaches and stuff thought that Chuba was the older brother just because he was so big. And so anyway, so there may be some promise there with Purdy. The problem is that he's hurt right now. A report just came out today that he may be back soon, according to Norvell. That I'm air quoting that soon just because who knows what the heck that means.
Right.
I would assume even if he was healthy or cleared, he would not be able to play in Florida State's next game, which is in a week and a half against Miami, just because he's not really up to speed at that point. And I just think that, you know, you'd be so, so limited by what he could actually do because he's been hurt for so long, right? And hasn't been able to take the reps. He's a true freshman. So, I mean, at this point, I think you just have to roll with Blackman. Maybe a little later in the year, you could explore Purdy. You could explore some of these other options. But we're limited by what we can do at the quarterback position. And that just, it is what it is.
Go ahead. Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just saying, no, you're fine. There were some reports out that Blackman had looked better, and maybe he just practiced as well. Maybe it's just that coach speak BS that you hear out of every coach. I don't really know, but there were some reports that he had really looked improved, and you know, who knows how much truth there was to that. Who knows if it was just kind of a weird day for him. Maybe he looks better in 2 weeks, you know, but he just possible. I think he's severely limited on what he can do. And I mean, he's not the long-term answer. This will be his last year, obviously, but you know, it just is what it is.
You know, when you mentioned the media reports about how he did, my question to you, I guess, was going to be, do you think that there's a possibility that Florida State fans, and honestly, we can include both of us in here because we did this on this pod last week, are maybe a victim of, you know, getting too optimistic of because of those positive media reports that kind of came out of practice? We heard that FSU was looking great, that this was, you know, a very new and improved Blackman, a new and improved team in general, a new and improved O-line, which they were okay, which maybe is an improvement over last year, but they definitely weren't good or anywhere close to good. So do you think that maybe we all just kind of developed unrealistic expectations based on what we were hearing and because we couldn't get in and see anything? So maybe this is exactly where Norvell really thought that they would be. And this isn't such a big deal to him because this is part of exactly the path that he saw Florida State taking.
I think we had unrealistic expectations, but probably not from my thought would be probably not from the media reports and the things like that, because all that sounds the same to me as a Florida State fan that I've heard the last 10 years.
For a fan to buy in that you've got a new coach, you've got players saying the right thing. So it is easy to be swayed by that without actual proof.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. So I would say, yes, we had unrealistic expectations. Again, I don't really know that it was so much I think it was more the fact that we considered there were a few things in play. Some unrealistic expectations based on things that we thought and things that we didn't think either. First of all, the things we thought that anybody coming in after Willie Taggart would be an improvement, which Norvell absolutely will, in my opinion. We just probably expected it to happen too quickly.
Yet to be seen.
Yeah. But that was our assumption, that anybody coming in would be an improvement. We also expected Georgia Tech to be really, really bad, which they were last year. They were very, very bad, the worst in the ACC. Probably didn't expect them to take a step forward. Who knows if they really did or if it was us being bad or maybe a mixture of both, probably a mixture of both, right?
We might have a little bit better of an idea of that after next weekend.
As time goes.
For sure.
And then also the fact that the things we didn't think about. We didn't think about, and maybe we did, and just we should have given more thought and whatever, maybe consideration, same thing as thought. Maybe we should have paid a little more attention to the fact that Norvell took over a program that was in disarray, didn't have any good options at quarterback, no spring, no summer.
A good coach is not necessarily a miracle worker.
Yeah, and I think that asking Norvell to come in week one, I still think Florida State should have won. They still had their chances.
Sure. There were some self-inflicted runes in that game. You know, there were some self-inflicted runes by Georgia Tech as well.
Absolutely. They could have run I mean, both teams could have really run away with the game both made the same amount of mistakes and Georgia State came out ahead.
Block three field goals or two?
Two field goals, an extra point. So you're looking at seven points there.
Three kicks total. And then the fact that field goal kicker could come out and hit after that is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are a lot of kickers that could not do that. Terry dropped some passes in there too, which didn't help Blackman out, right?
Terry, yeah. And it wasn't just Blackman. I mean, obviously everything falls and everything rides with quarterback play, right? Sure. Like if Blackman just plays a little bit better, we win. But I mean, if Terry catches a ball in the first half where he's streaking down the sideline and we go up 17-0, I mean, they scored 16. I mean, obviously you could say maybe they come back and win, but I think Florida State wins the game if we just make that one catch, you know, but there's a bunch of plays like that, you know, like if we don't fumble the ball inside of our own 20 and they pick it up and score a touchdown right after that, we probably win still there too. So like there's always those ifs and whats, but that's just characteristics of a team that doesn't know how to win. And so
I do think the defense looked pretty good. I, when Florida was going through, you know, our 5 years of horrific football, one of the things that I always said was, if your defense can hold the other team to under 20 points, your offense has to figure out a way to win. So when you hold somebody to 16 points, your defense, for the most part, did their job. Your team should be able to figure out a way to score more than 16 points. But I mean, FSU came up with, like we talked about, the two blocked field goals and the blocked extra point. There was two interceptions. I think they stopped Georgia Tech maybe twice in the red zone, and then they scored, I guess it would be three times. So, I mean, there's something to build on there from a defensive side of the ball, which is great and something to pay attention to, but it's just the offense needs some help.
And I thought, I haven't gone back and watched, you know, they used to cut up the games in like 15 minutes where you could watch the whole thing really quick. We had a guy that did it.
Person's furloughed.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just some fan.
I'm kidding.
The ACC and everybody started shutting them down and not let, you know, like, oh, we can't do this. And so it sucks. Like, but I don't want to go watch a, you know, 2 hour game on ESPN or whatever. But I, you know, I'd have to really go back and look, and maybe I didn't prepare as well for this, but I thought the offense looked, I mean, as crazy as I'm going to sound when I say this, I thought the offense looked a lot more competent. We had like five drops, you know, Terry's dropped
pass. Terry there was dropped a pass. Multiple. He dropped, I think I read 70 or 80 yards worth of drops.
Yeah. There was a pass that Warren Thompson dropped who, you know, had a lot of stuff. I mean, this is his first real time on the field, but he dropped a pass at about the 5 yard line that was a long pass down the field. It was a third and one. We were on about our own 40, and he dropped a pass at the 5 yard line. I mean, if he catches that, we win the game. You know, I mean, it's assuming we can get it the 5 yards to get in, right? Like, we win the. So it's just like, well, the offense. And so there's a little bit that's on the coaching too. Like, but the offense looked more competent. I mean, at the end of the day, we just have to execute, right? Like, if you're missing guys high or low as a quarterback, if you are dropping balls as the receiver, we really didn't get anything going in the running game, which we haven't for years. So, I mean, that's just kind of the par for the course at this point. Offensive line looked better, I thought. You know, I didn't think the offensive line was as poor as they – so I thought the team actually, I mean, looks good. We just couldn't stop making mistakes. We couldn't – you know, we turned the ball over when we could not afford to. We missed guys when we could not afford to, and we dropped passes when we couldn't afford to. And so – you know, that's kind of what it came down to. If we catch two passes in the first half and don't fumble in the second, we win going away. We win the game like 24-27 to 13, which isn't like a blowout, but would be great, right? I picked 31-13. So, I mean, I was, you know, so anyway, like it just, I thought Florida State, as bad as it was and as much of a choke job as it was late, and a lot of it is confidence and stuff, right? Like once they start to come back, I mean, all these guys that have just been losers for 2.5-3 years now are just like, well, here it goes again, you know, and they don't know how to, you know, face any kind of adversity or anything like that. So once we went down, I mean, you just knew it was over, you know, same old story. But I thought the team looked, again, I mean, we had 11 guys on the field every play, just like basic, simple football stuff. Everybody lined up the right way. And then I thought there were plays there to be made, and we just didn't execute, you know. And could coaching have been better? Sure. I haven't really rewatched the game, so you know, I don't know. I think our season outlook definitely is lower. I think we had too high of expectations for the team, too high of expectations for Blackman. I think the defense can really improve on a couple of things too. We gave up a lot of yards. I mean, it was very bend don't break. I think, you know, Georgia Tech's one of the worst offenses we're going to see, so the defense will have to improve as time goes on. Had some injuries to guys that we weren't really expecting in the secondary and the offensive line. So I think things can improve. I think that instead of looking at a 7-win team, I think we're probably looking at a 4-5-win team.
Yeah. You know? I pulled the schedule back up to see what I thought, because I'd had Georgia Tech as a win, obviously. So did you. I think they lose to Miami. I think they lose to Notre Dame. I think they lose to UNC. I think they lose to Louisville. I think it's going to be toss up at Pitt. I think they beat NC State. They obviously lose to Clemson and probably Virginia. And they probably beat Duke. I mean, that's what is that? I mean, we're talking about four wins there. It's hard to watch that game and then think, okay, who am I confident that they beat? It doesn't mean they couldn't surprise us and get better and whatever else, but the only piece of evidence that we have does make it very difficult for me to pick list a team that they for sure beat outside of JSU.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I thought every game on the schedule minus Jacksonville State was a possible loss. Anyway,
when did you think now, that? Because it certainly wasn't on this pod.
No, I thought every game on the schedule. No, I think I said this. Every game on the schedule is
going to have 8 wins. We picked 8 wins.
You did too, though. So, I mean, don't be jumping on me for this.
I picked 7 wins, and it's not my team.
You should have been less of a homer. But
I said 7. You said 8.
Even that 7 looks pretty bad right now.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
I thought every game on the schedule was a potential losable game, but I also thought every game on the schedule was potentially winnable, minus Clemson and Notre Dame. I think what has changed now is every game is still losable, but there's just a whole lot less winnable games.
Right, like, right.
So I think Clemson and Notre Dame are your two auto losses. The ones you mentioned, I think that we beat Jacksonville State. I think that Virginia, NC State, and Duke are still winnable games. Like, those are games we could win any of those. I would think we'll be in all of those games just because of how bad those teams are. And then I think that Miami, North Carolina, Louisville, and I'm probably forgetting one more. I just can't remember off the top of my head, are like probable losses as opposed to just before I thought they were just possible losses. Like, oh, we could lose to North Carolina. Oh, we could do it. We will probably lose those. And I mean, you know, who knows? Something fluky could happen. Maybe we win one we're not supposed to. We probably lose one that we're not supposed to. But yeah, I think you're looking at a great scenario at this point for Florida State would be 6 wins. Like, yeah. I'll find a way to not go because it's a weird schedule and it's.
And they'll still go to a bowl game, even if they end up with 5, because the way that our, if we have bowl games, the way that we're thinking we'll have bowl games, they're going to need more bodies.
Yeah. And so I think Florida State's goal at this point has to be to find a way to get to above 500, right? To find a way to get to 6 wins. The path to 6 wins is probably Jacksonville State. Yeah. I mean, that would help. But Jacksonville State, Virginia, Duke, NC State, and Pitt all have to be wins. And then you have to upset somebody, whether that be North Carolina, Louisville, Miami, which none of those teams are just absolute world beaters, but they're all better than Georgia Tech. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, we think. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll get into it a little bit here in a second, but we saw the Miami game on last Thursday night, right after we recorded last week. I didn't think they looked super impressive.
No, they were, as Silk tweeted, which I laughed out loud, lies were told this offseason.
Well, they are every offseason with this fan base.
Correct, but worse than the average.
Derek King does not look like – I mean, he's basically James Blackman with better legs. I mean, James Blackman may be more accurate than him, as bad as Blackman was. You know, King did not look good throwing the ball. I don't know if it was, first game nerves or whatever, but he did not look accurate at all. They ran that run-pass option on the goal line, and he had a guy wide open 5 yards away from him, and he put it into the third row. King just did not look good. Where he did look good was running the ball, and that's kind of where I expect Florida State will have some trouble defending him is – I mean, I'm not really worried about King lighting us up through the air. I think our secondary and our defense will do fine. But I think that if he breaks contain and we don't have a spy on him, I think that he could really burn us running the ball. Their running backs are also really, really good, and they've done a good job recruiting their offensive line's not great. So I think our defense will do okay against their offense. I mean, I'm not going to predict that we do anything crazy there, but I do think our offense is going to struggle against their defense, which is usually pretty good. And so, yeah, I think Miami beats us by like 14 or more. So, but yeah, I still don't think they're very good. They play Louisville on Saturday night. It's the game day game, and it's the game day game because both teams are ranked, but everybody's rankings are somewhat fictitious because they took all the everybody's ratings are inflated, maybe is the best way to say it, without all the Big Ten.
But they're not here yet. Teams. So if they play, they'll get added SEC's in. But it's not inflated because it just is what it is.
The SEC's not here yet. So are you going to take them out too, until week 3 and then put them back in?
That's, I mean, They will be in a week. If the Big Ten gets something approved this week, guess what? Who will be added in on Sunday? The Big Ten. If we know for sure that they are playing before we go into the weekend, they will get added back in. At this moment, the assumption is they're not playing. So, I mean, I get what you're saying that, like, if everybody was playing, this team might not be as high, but I don't think that you it's fair to call it inflated because this is where you rank out of the teams that are having a season.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we can look at it from both sides. Is Miami the 17th
best? Side.
Yeah. Is Miami the 17th best? I mean, if you want to defend Miami here, I'm fine with it. But is Miami the 17th best team in the country that's playing right now? Sure. Is that a different 17th than we've ever seen in college football history? Yes. Like, absolutely. So would they be ranked if not? Absolutely not. I mean, maybe 25th or 26th, you know, like something like that. But yeah, it will be funny to see if they get something approved and they took Ohio State out of the rankings for a week. Again, not that the rankings mean anything because they're all just fictitious, but and they take Ohio State out of the rankings for a week and then they're back at number two next week. Like, no big deal. That will actually be hilarious. So what else? So Miami-Louisville Saturday night. I think that'll be a fun one. Louisville's favorite. We'll get to picks later, but Louisville's favored right now by 2.5. I'm kind of jumping ahead there, but well, let's wait until we get into picks on that. But that'll be a fun one. I didn't think Miami is very good. So we'll definitely see, you know, how they look next week or this weekend when they're not playing UAB, who just canceled their football program a couple of years ago. Louisville favored, so I'm excited for that. What else? Did I have anything else? So readjusted season outlook, I think 5 wins is what I would predict right now for FSU, and that's probably being a homer still. DJ Matthews hits the transfer portal. Not a huge shock there. He was kind of the one that came out. Warren Thompson is the one that came out and wrote the letter to you know, the open letter about COVID testing and all this stuff that was going on. And he's the one that, you know, kind of had the issue. And DJ Matthews is the one that piled on way more and then was no longer with the football program and now is in the transfer portal. Warren Thompson seemed to work his issues out with Coach Norvell. He played on Saturday. Had a couple of big drops, but did play on Saturday. And DJ Matthews, who had a fantastic kick return against Miami in 2018, punt return for a touchdown, just never really could put it together on the field for any staff and is now probably no longer with the program. I would not anticipate that he takes his name out of the portal. So good riddance. Speaking of transfer portals,
so he hasn't been with the team though for a long time. He tested positive for COVID in August, right? And then hasn't been practicing, hasn't been around, just announced his intention. So you say good riddance because, you know, he's had issues with coaching staffs, but this, honest to God, doesn't affect anything, right? Because he hasn't been practicing anyway.
Yeah, for sure. He hasn't been with the team in who knows how long, right? I don't even know if he ever. I would assume he went to practice, right? Like when we first started up, but I don't even know if that happened or not. So, it's not really there's the opportunity loss, but there's no actual loss because he hasn't been with us. I mean, he would be I'd have much rather had him, you know, going up and down the field than, some of the other guys that were dropping passes this week because he's super, super talented, but, it just didn't work out for whatever reason. I mean, we all have guys come through. We're having more and more like that as these players from these last few years start to kind of pan out. But who knew that if you don't get any coaching or development, you'll turn into a problem. So speaking of transfer portal, though, you guys just got a player approved, correct?
Yes. Justin Shorter he's a wide receiver from Penn State. They've been waiting for a long time for his approval from the NCAA. I believe he transferred in January. It's been a really long time. I think Georgia had 14 quarterbacks make the jump between when Shorter transferred and now that all got approved much faster. But you know, it's another weapon for Trask, and I'm here for it. I don't really know what it's, you know, what it's going to look like on the field. I didn't pay close attention to him at Penn State. He had, you know, some okay numbers up there. He was a pretty highly ranked high school player, which at this point means nothing to me personally anyway, but I'll take another weapon.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, his numbers were just, I mean, he caught 15 passes well in over his couple of years at Penn State, but I mean, Penn State doesn't really use the, I mean, they've never had a great quarterback, or didn't have a great quarterback over the last couple of years. And they're obviously a grounded out and run and pound the ball type of offense. So, I mean, not shocking that his numbers aren't, you know, absolutely massive or anything there, but a lot of, like I said, a lot of potential, you know, just kind of another weapon. Florida strikes me as the school that has like a million options to go to when it comes to the receiving game. Nobody is just like an absolute, you know, sure thing first round pick, like when FSU had Kelvin Benjamin or Miami's Amon Richards or anything like that. But like Florida's wide receivers are all good, all above average. They'll all make rosters, but like nobody's just like a, you know,
Florida had like two players, four players make NFL rosters at wide receiver as rookies this past year, which is actually the most of from the wide receiver position group of any school ever. And I don't know that going into the season last year, there was anybody on our roster that people were like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the difference maker. I mean, Florida fans knew who was good, but I don't really think that anybody outside of that did. And there's two, I believe I read two Florida wide receivers made, accolades for week one for their play as well. So they're having immediate impact on the field. Billy Gonzalez is a great wide receivers coach. And I think, you know, Florida has Pitts, they have a stall of weapons. And maybe nobody's a first round pick, but there's a hell of a lot of talent in that wide receiver room.
Yeah, I didn't mean that as a slam at all. I just thought they had a bunch of guys that were very above average, especially at the college level. And they can kind of hit them all at any time, right? I mean, you know, there's obviously only one ball. So unless you're running like trick plays, you only get one a play. But I think Florida's weapons are really, really good. It's just kind of, does Trask take another step forward after having a really, really good year? And, you know,
If Trask stays the same from last year, I think he's good enough to win, you know, 11 games on Florida's schedule. Trask was great last year.
11 of 11.
You did
pick 11 of 11 though. So that's,
yeah, I did, I think. But so 10 of 11, let's say. I mean, he was great for Florida last year. I don't know that he needs to take some huge step. Supposedly he's lost like 15 pounds and he reports out of practice, which
he got a Peloton.
I don't know, but I did see a thing where somebody asked him if he lost weight and he thanked them for noticing. And it was pretty funny, but, you know, again, we have to be careful about reports out of practice, but I have heard from multiple people that he looks a lot more mobile, that he worked all off season on his footwork. He lost some weight. That we should see a more mobile Kyle Trask. Now, does that mean that he is a dual threat quarterback? I don't think so. But being a little bit more limber is definitely going to be a plus for Florida.
I'm never believing another practice report for the rest of my life. So I'm sure he gained 15 pounds at
right?
this point. So, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited to see UF week one against Ole Miss. You know, we play Miami the same day. It's kind of a good schedule lineup. You guys play at noon. And then there's a little bit of a break. Who's Georgia play? Like Mississippi State or something? I don't know. Georgia plays like the 4 o'clock game. So that'll be interesting to see with their new quarterback. And then we play 7:30 against Miami. So we get to get
humiliated. Does Georgia even know who their new quarterback is yet? I don't think they do.
Last report
I saw was nobody had separated themselves, which is always scary when you're talking about, you know, 1 week out.
I also wonder if that, I mean, coach, some of these idiot coaches, yeah, they do the coach speak in reverse, you know, like who knows?
Do you know that every spring under Ron Zook and Urban Meyer, both of them would always say they didn't know who the starting punter was going to be. Eric started every single game of his entire college career, but literally every spring. And it was so bad. It was to the point, like, if you went to spring practice, you knew who the starting punter for Florida was going to be yet again. But the poor guy that was the backup and his girlfriend, I swear, every season, this coach speak, which was literally there to motivate Eric to, you know, work even harder or be even better or whatever. Every year that poor kid thought he really had a shot of stealing that job. And it was almost like painful to watch every spring because you knew what the outcome was going to be. The coaches knew what the outcome was going to be. The only person that didn't was the poor backup kid who was being told that he was in a competition that he wasn't actually in. So, I mean, maybe it's something similar to that going on and they do know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it happens at every position, right? Like they swear
that that's just my own personal experience.
Yeah, they swear that Jacob Coker was like neck and neck with Jameis, right? And then Jameis comes out and has the greatest freshman season you've ever seen. You're like, Right. Okay, was it really that close back in practice? Like, what was really – like, why do you have to tell us that? Just say that Jameis got the starting job and move on, you know, or the punter or whoever it is at Georgia or whatever. But
it's to motivate it is not for fans. It is not for media. It is literally to motivate the guy that – is going to be the starter. That's the only person that coach speak is for.
Yeah. So, and then we play, so you guys at noon, them at 4, I believe. And then we play the night game. So a good slate there. I'm excited to see what Florida looks like after Allie has predicted that they will beat Clemson by 28 in the national championship this year.
Okay. So wait, I'm looking at the rundown of games. So, at noon, obviously we have Florida. We also have Notre Dame, Wake, and Oklahoma, Kansas State, Auburn,
don't
Kentucky.
Care about any of those.
Louisville, Pitt is also.
Don't care about that. Oh, that's not too bad.
I don't
we'll
feel
see.
Like that's a bad one. LSU, Mississippi State, Texas.
Yeah, Texas Tech. Oh, Georgia, Arkansas. Never mind. So it's Georgia against. It's Georgia against Felipe.
Alabama, so Missouri is interesting because again, Missouri is one of those kind of unknowns. I feel like they show up for games they shouldn't. So I mean, that's one I'll watch. Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, that doesn't really have a whole lot of appeal to me. But Tennessee, South Carolina does. I like the Tennessee, South Carolina game. It's a rivalry. I think that's one that you can't necessarily look at and say who's going to win. So I'll have to flip back and forth. But Florida State, Miami will obviously have my majority of attention.
See which dumpster fire burns the brightest.
Next week ahead. Question for you, though. This upcoming week, UCF plays Georgia Tech. Is there any part of you that is really concerned at a UCF win makes FSU look?
I mean, I don't think we need, you know, does it really make us look worse at this point? UCF is the number 14 ranked team in the country.
What do
you think
your Twitter is going to look like if UCF, let's say, destroys Georgia Tech?
Well, I don't respond to these UCF idiots like you do, so I will be just fine on Twitter. So I will be great. I will send them your way. It will be fine in this house. What time is that game? Can we watch that?
I'm out of town this weekend, but I swear after that I'm in.
Any in-town weekends? I'm never hanging out with you guys again. So
it's my birthday on Thursday. And
We are lit.
This weekend we're going to the Omni in Orlando. They have like a great lazy river and like a kids splash pad and stuff. And so some of our best friends that live in Orlando are meeting us over there. And we're going to kind of celebrate. We have a cabana with a TV, so we will be able to watch the games that are going on. That game's at
– You'll be able to – 3:30. You'll be able to tweet the UCF fans from
from Orlando. Come find me at the Omni.
Yeah, turn your location on.
Right? I do kind of hope that Georgia Tech somehow figures out a way to beat them. I feel like it at least makes Florida State look slightly more respectable. If they lose by like 30 points, I will laugh my ass off at you, but –
Well, whatever. I mean, UCF wins, bringing you joy. That's fine.
National champions if they beat Georgia Tech, just an FYI.
Man, I'm telling you, though, looking at the standings in UCF at 14, I'm just telling you, I know we talked about this earlier, like what would happen if these different scenarios went down. I think UCF starting the season at 14, if they win out, they play some ranked teams, mm-hmm. you know, just in I mean, they're going to be in the playoff. I mean, this is just what I'm telling you. I think they're – unless Ohio State – unless the Big Ten comes back, which I think we'll get to that later.
Well, if the Big Ten comes back, then they're not. They won't be in the playoffs. I think it'll be interesting to – it depends on if the SEC eats each other for lunch, essentially.
Which I think they will, right? Like, the only scenario where it doesn't is like an Alabama undefeated and a Florida undefeated, like play each other. And then the what do you do with the loser? Or you have a one loss champion and undefeated team, or maybe two, like Florida loses to Georgia. Georgia has one regular season loss and Florida doesn't make the SEC title game, but finishes the year with one loss, and then Alabama's undefeated and beats Georgia. So Georgia's out, but does Florida then make it with one loss, like the year that Alabama made it without going? That's the only way I see that UCF or a group of five school doesn't make it. Kind of like
Looking at their schedule right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, first of all, they only play 10 games, which, you know.
They're the same as y'all.
Yeah, which that's what I was getting to. It's the same as the SEC, but I think one less than the Big 12 and the ACC. So currently on their schedule ranked is Memphis and Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati's at the very end of the season, so whether or not they're ranked at that point will obviously remain to be seen. Memphis is mid-October. But outside of that, they have Georgia Tech, who is obviously not ranked, and we don't really know a whole lot about them, but that's all they got. That's like decent.
With the Big Ten coming back, it could change, but
sure.
Memphis's schedule looks very similar. Cincinnati's schedule looks very similar. And sure. So those teams are ranked 16 and 13 right now.
Sure.
Those teams could be ranked a lot closer to 10 or higher at that point. And so then if you've got, you know,
it's possible. They would have to run the entire table. No questions asked. If Memphis
or Cincinnati did the same thing that we're talking UCF might do, I think they would be in as well.
Right. It's going to take a group of five to be undefeated, but I almost think it's going to take a couple of the teams on their schedule to also end up good. You know, we can say what they're ranked at the moment before we've really gotten into the season, but I think it's going to take an undefeated season and it looked like there's some quality wins on there. But if there was a year for it to happen, this would be it, right? As long as the Big Ten doesn't come back.
Yeah, and if they beat, you know, so say that by the time they play, UCF is ranked, I don't know, eighth, right?
Sure.
Eighth, ninth, tenth, somewhere in there. And they play Cincinnati the week before Thanksgiving on the 21st, uh-huh. And Cincinnati's ranked 10th or also in the top, whatever. Yeah. And they beat them, but it's close. And then they get a rematch with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In the conference. Then they beat another top,
yep.
You know, 15-ish team. I think they'd be in again.
It's
unless
possible.
Something kind of weird happens. So I don't think they run the table though, fortunately for us. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it is, if I'm a UCF fan, I am very hopeful about how this season could play out as long as my team does their part.
We talked briefly about the Louisville-Miami game, which is coming up this Saturday. Louisville won this weekend against Western Kentucky.
We had some people tweet us and tell us we were sleeping on Louisville, by the way.
Today?
No,
when?
Last week after our podcast, or at least I did, had people tweet and say that I think two or three UCF that they were fans. That we were sleeping on Louisville.
I mean, maybe. I mean, we're not anymore because, I mean, I'm fully aware that they're going to beat us. But, I mean, at the same time, it's still a Louisville team that Willie Taggart beat.
Hey, just my Twitter feed. Nebraska president Ted Carter caught on a hot mic saying they're going to announce Huskers in Big Ten football. How did you see it this morning? I just saw it. It says 47 seconds ago. Maybe
who's
that person
from?
Just tweeted.
Bradley Murphy tweeted it this morning.
No, 47 minutes ago, not seconds. Damn, it was the very top of my. Why does Twitter not put things in order? Drives me freaking nuts.
It's a setting you have to go in.
I thought I already did do that like 87 times, but anyway, well, let's talk about that. So the Big Ten may be back, right? Which would then make our entire previous conversation null and void, right?
Yeah.
More than likely, anyway.
I hope they are for the kids. I think the Big Ten is going to end up with a Yeah, Big Ten's still going to end up with egg on their face because you've had guys opt out and start
1,000%
for the draft. But I think it's what's best for the players, so I'm all about it.
It is. It is what's best for the players, and as somebody that does care about college athletes, I'm happy for them. I tweeted this yesterday. As a fan, I would think it's hysterical because it would murder their recruiting. But honestly, this has done a lot of damage to their recruiting anyway. And I think whether or not they play, it still makes this league look pretty incompetent compared to everybody else. And I still think that will affect recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, I would believe that Ohio State, it doesn't really impact them as much just because of the brand that they are.
But even but the if rest it impacts of the league, them a tiny bit, that's still helpful to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know, Ohio State hasn't had like a bunch of decommits or anything like that, so it really hasn't hit them with a major impact just yet. I think that they're still selling the fact that like, hey, we're going to get this season played, and so it getting back is going to help them. But you know, the rich become richer. You know, their conference just looks a little bit more like the ACC now, right? Or the SEC did 4 or 5 years ago, you know? And so it's Ohio State and then everybody else, which it already was anyway, but it's just even worse now. You know, it's like, you know, like canceling the season would not have impacted your major, major programs, but it separates that gap a little bit, right? Even more. So yeah, it's really going to hurt the conference overall. And that doesn't help the perception of the conference. I mean, everybody knows that the Big Ten or, you know, the ACC sucks minus one team, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, we'll see kind of what the long-term impacts are. I hope they do play though. I think it'd be great. I'd love for them to come back and the Big Ten just to suck. But I'd also love to see Fields versus Lawrence in the title game. So that's kind of what would be awesome. So
I do think players like Fields need they deserve a pat on the back. They didn't shut up and accept the status quo. These guys used their platform to make it known that they were not happy with the decisions that were made. And if decisions are changed, I think they played a role in that. Now, money played a much larger role in that. But I do think the players' voices played a role in this if this were to change. I think that university presidents maybe discounted that. I think maybe they discounted why these guys do what they do. You know, and it is for the love of the game, but a lot of these guys, it's because they're trying to create a better future for themselves. And I think that that's what we heard vocalized by a lot of these players. And I do think that presidents and chancellors were maybe a little disconnected from that.
Yeah.
Underestimated that.
Absolutely. And so, but I mean, we'll see. Are we supposed to have an update on that today?
I feel like we've heard that for the last several days. All weekend long, we heard their meeting this weekend. We'll have an answer. And then we get the report that, they met, but there's no vote and there's no plan for when there is going to be a vote, which is like, you know, too bad there's not a timeline or anything here, guys.
I don't need to hurry.
I know you have been ragging Dan Walken, whatever, a lot. I mean, he has become completely insufferable. But did you see the tweets the other day? I want to say it was him, where he said something along the lines of like, they were like, somebody tweeted that the Big Ten dropped the ball. And he was like, or they're taking their time and processing their information so that they can come to a good decision. And then Nicole What's-Her-Face tweets and is like, oh, that's way too reasonable. People, this is a complete and utter disaster. This is not this league sitting here and processing information and doing things the right way. You know what would have been a good time to do that? Like, I don't know, June?
July, summer?
August? Any point up until you released a schedule and then 5 days later said, psych, never mind, we're not playing anything. What the hell went it on in those 5 days to create such a 180. The time to process that information was when everybody else was processing that information. I don't think you get to pull the card that we were just doing our due diligence when you went from releasing a schedule to canceling an entire season in 5 days, instead of what they should have done is what everybody else did. Postpone it for a little bit. Give it, you know, let things play out a little bit longer. Say we're hoping to play, but it's not a guarantee. We're watching how things evolve.
Yeah, or just have a little bit of communication with the other conferences to make sure that you're not the only one that trips up and has egg on your face.
Oh, well, you know, maybe also have some communication within your own conference as well. I mean, all of these coaches have said that they knew nothing, that they had no information on this at all, that they didn't speak to the commissioner. So, I mean, I don't understand. I don't know. I think this process was completely and utterly just a complete train wreck for the Big Ten. I don't know that I think there's any coming back in terms of anybody thinking that they handled this in the right way. I think that they'd be smart to play, especially with everybody else going ahead and playing. Yeah. But I mean, at this point, give us a damn decision.
Yeah. Tired of the back and forth, tired of the waiting, you know, just do it or don't. Who cares? Right. I mean, people care, but like, just, you know, make a decision. So, we followed up our terrible week of picks in week one with some more terrible picks.
My God, we are garbage.
You increased your percentage by 100%, went from one right to two right, and I stayed consistent with two right. So last week I took Miami, you took UAB, I got that one right. You took UNC, I took Syracuse, you got that one right. Syracuse was really hanging around tough, and then all of a sudden the floodgates opened in the third quarter. We both took Notre Dame and missed that one. We both took FSU and missed that one. And then we both took Louisville to beat Western Kentucky, which that game was a little closer than expected. That game ended up being 21-35. The spread was 11.5, so we did get it. But just barely, right? Like just barely covered the 11.5 with 14 there. So I've got 4 out of 10 on the year, batting 400. You have 3 out of 10 on the year. But I really feel like this is the week we'll get back on track.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't really expect that. I just, you know.
It just feels like the right thing to say, because otherwise we're just flushing money down the toilet. Yeah,
right. I wrote down all my picks already, so I'll let you go. I promise I'm not – like, I'll even take a picture of it and then show you the timestamp. I actually am not going to do all that because it seems like a lot of work. But yeah, I wrote down all my picks already.
I've written down 3 of 5. I'm debating my other two, but
– okay. So – Liberty, Western Kentucky. Liberty is a 14.5 point dog on the road at Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
Okay. I've got the Flames because
you graduated from there.
Yeah, I can't pick against them. So Boston College plus 4.5 against Duke.
Duke.
I've got Boston College. So we are somebody's getting these right and wrong. Baylor minus 6.5 against Houston.
This is the one that I have yet to fill in. I mean, I want to say Baylor, but screw it. I'll say Baylor.
Oh, man. I thought you were going the other way. I had Baylor as well. UCF minus 7.5 at Georgia Tech.
I have UCF.
I have Georgia Tech. I said that I would not pick with my heart on these. Like, I'd just go with the right thing, but I want to pick Georgia Tech so I can cheer for them.
I kind of want to pick Georgia Tech only so I can cheer for them too, but I just don't think that they win that game.
Miami and Louisville. Miami is a 2.5 point dog. I have him as well. So what will actually end up happening is the two that we agreed on will go the opposite way.
Sure.
And the three that we didn't agree on will just be like 2-1, and then we'll be tied next week. So
1,000%. That's exactly what will happen.
But go Cardinals, because I'll go 0-for. Well, is it possible? Yeah, it is. Of course. I'll go 1-for-4 if Louisville wins.
Yeah.
I would trade that. Without a doubt. I'll let you have all the other wins and just to have that, because I care more about trolling on Twitter than I do.
Real life.
I'll also say that if Louisville wins, it you know, I'm probably at – so we'll break down the game more next week before Florida State plays Miami. But I am probably at – as crazy as this is, let's talk about this real quick. ESPN still has Florida State winning that game at Miami. You know, I don't know how all this happens or works or whatever, but they still do. I do not. I didn't beforehand, and obviously I don't now. But I, you know, I think the confidence level the ESPN has – let me just look it up real quick so I don't misquote it. 56% for Florida State to win at Miami. I don't know if they're just believing in Norvell, if they think that Georgia Tech was – that much better than UAB. I don't know what the logic or reasoning there. I'm probably at like 20%, right? Like, I think that if we played five times, we'd win one of them, maybe mm-hmm. is a good way to look at that.
Yeah.
Again, Florida State's defense looked okay. Special teams fantastic.
Their defense was decent, and their special teams were good. Again, if you give up 16 points or like, you should be able to figure out a way to score enough points to win that.
So, I mean, I'd say 20%. Maybe that's even low. Maybe it's 25. You know, maybe you know, we win one out of four instead of one out of five. But if Miami goes and loses to Louisville, right, and looks bad doing it, like if they get in a shootout and just, you know, Louisville just outplays, I mean, that then I probably won't. But if they go into Louisville and lose, my confidence level probably goes up to, I don't know, 35, 36, somewhere in there. Where I think maybe we win one out of three instead of one out of five. So I'm excited to kind of see what that game looks like on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Bucks Saints this weekend. The arrival of Tom Brady didn't really go down like it was predicted or like we thought it would. Yeah, I would hate to say that I predicted this, but I predicted this. Not so much that Tom Brady would have the game that he did, but I thought the Bucks around him would just kind of be the same old Bucks. I know that it's very trendy and it's very easy to put everything on a quarterback when a team wins or loses, but the Bucks are not a good organization around Tom Brady. I think that they did some things to try to improve this year. I don't want to be such a prisoner of the moment. I still think they're going to win 10 or 11 games. I'll say that. The Saints are a good team. But I'll tell you this. If we drop kickoffs and have face mask penalties in crucial situations and throw pick sixes and Mike Evans quits on routes and the defense can't tackle, then, yeah, we aren't going to win 10 or 11 games. So, yeah, I thought it was a complete team loss. We brought in Fournette. He had five rushes for 5 yards, so that wasn't good. Brady throwing two picks wasn't good. The special teams dropping kickoffs is not good. No communication there. So things need to improve quickly. The irony of Brady throwing a pick six in front of Jameis Winston in the same stands is in the same stadium is not lost on me. But yeah, the whole team needs to improve, or else it is going to be a long season for both teams that I'm supposed to support. So. Hopefully they'll be better against the Panthers or not. Whatever they want to do is fine. In lighter news, the Lightning are going to win tonight and go to the Stanley Cup final. So that's exciting.
I think so too. Cannot wait. That game's at 8:00. So Dallas is already in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They are. And as crazy as it sounds, like, I've been talking with my buddy Dan all week, or for the last week and a half now. And I think Vegas is the better team. Dallas obviously just won pretty convincingly in five games, but Vegas is, to me, the tougher team. I think Dallas just kind of got hot, and I think Vegas was better last night, and Dallas ended up winning in overtime. But I'm hoping this doesn't come back to bite me in the butt, but I'm glad that we're playing Dallas as opposed to Vegas if we do finish off the Islanders, which I think we will again tonight. And I'm excited to win a Stanley Cup, so hopefully we do.
I know, me too.
It will be really cool if – I mean, the favorites for all three are the Lakers. Well, the Lakers are the favorites to win the NBA. The Lightning are the favorites right now to win in the NHL. And the Rays have the second-best odds to win the World Series right now. And so all of that is exciting. Like, you know, football sucks, but really everything else in my life is going great.
Football's back, so it doesn't suck. I don't know about you, and you're probably going to have
football an awesome, for me sucks.
I would take a sucky football season over no football season. You may disagree with that, but
yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I've said this a couple places now. Like, I don't even like all the emotion of Florida State football has been beat out of me when we lose. Like, I wasn't even upset the other day. You know, it's like. It just becomes normal. Now, I'm sure if we go on another run and win 29 games in a row, that 30th game that we do end up losing will hurt a lot, you know, but right now it's just the status quo. Like, every game does. I mean, you don't want to lose, but like when you're in the midst of a losing kind of tenure, it just becomes like you kind of get numb to it. You're like, well, this is what we are. We're a bad team. Like I can rationalize and understand it. You know, it hurts way worse when you're on top of the world and you lose a game you're not supposed to, you know? So these don't even, whatever, you know, like these are fine with me. I mean, the losses aren't, I'm not fine with them, but like, you know, it'll hurt worse if the Lakers like get knocked out of the playoffs or if the Lightning lose the Stanley Cup than when we lose to Miami next week, you know, like, cause I believe in those other teams. So
right.
Anyway, I'll also trade a Stanley Cup for a crappy football season. So hear me, sports gods. That's all I've got for this week. We'll try and do better next week. But
do better. I thought that was fine.
I'm just playing. I thought we did a good job. So,
well, next week will be good because it's going to be, you know, a couple of days before the SEC kicks off. We'll probably know, maybe, who the hell knows? Maybe we won't have an answer about the Big Ten. Although I would have thought the last three shows we would have had an answer about the Big Ten. Maybe we know a little bit more about UCF, or maybe we know a little bit more about FSU if Georgia Tech somehow pulls that off. I'm excited. So Florida State gets a bye leading into the Miami game. Miami obviously doesn't. That may be some sort of advantage to Florida State there. We shall see. But yeah, good week coming up.
Yeah, I think so too. Again, I don't know. I mean, I expect UCF to come out. And I mean, I know I just picked against them to cover, but I think UCF does win. I mean,
I think they do. That's why I picked them.
UCF has been a better team than Florida State for 3 or 4 years now. So, I mean, it's not really going to shock me when they go in and beat them. So it just is what it is. So, we've got the Bucks have the Panthers this weekend. They should win that. If they don't win that, then
there's some real problems.
Yeah. So I'm kind of here for the chaos and the meltdown, but we'll see. All right, cool. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for hanging out.